and show up. And the Lord showed me he brought 40 college career age kids here to our church ground and was able to spend time with them and show them that, hey, church folks do love people. And, you know, sometimes we can get enough knowledge in us that we can expound the scriptures so deep, but we fail to love folks. And so y'all help us as we pray for them, and maybe God will bring opportunity that we'll be able to visit with them, and we'll see fruit that will remain, meaning somebody will come to realize that they need the Lord Jesus Christ, their personal Lord and Savior, through that effort. And they were excited. They asked me, said, can we do it again? Without me even saying it. Can we do it again? Boy, we had a good time. And so we're going to see about doing it again sometime. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. We're going to continue our studies in the book of 1 Corinthians. We've gone verse by verse, chapter by chapter up to this point. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 17 tonight. And we'll go around 17, maybe down through 24 this evening. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 17. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Oh, this is wonderful news before we get started. You know, Brother Fred came and said my brother had a heart attack. He was on vacation. Had a heart attack on vacation. They had to get him back. He was down in the Bahamas. Well, he got him back, got him checked out, and got him cared for. And his physical heart was touched. But on Sunday morning, he asked the Lord Jesus Christ to save his soul. And so the Lord used that to to get him around Brother Fred. And he accepted Christ as Savior over at Brother A.B. Collins Church Sunday morning. Praise God for that. That's Brother Richard right there. Was on vacation in Bahamas and could have went off into eternity, but God had grace and mercy. And that's when the Lord moved in and gave him opportunity to hear the gospel message, and he got saved. Amen. Amen. 1 Corinthians 7 and 17, the Bible says, "But as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called everyone, so let him walk. And so ordained I in all the churches. Is any man called being circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Is any man called in uncircumcision? Let him not be uncircumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but the keeping of the commandments of God." What did he say to us in the New Testament? If you love me, keep my commandments. Verse 20, "Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it. But if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's freeman. Likewise also he that is called, being free, is Christ's servant." Verse 23, "Ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called, therein abide with God." Now, we're going to talk tonight about abiding in a different calling and staying there. In verses 17 and 19, you see a principle that is stated here, and it is applied as we look at it. It says there, "But as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called everyone, so let him walk. And so ordained I in all the churches. Is any man called being circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Any called in uncircumcision, let him not be uncircumcised. Circumcision is nothing. Uncircumcision is nothing but the keeping of the commandments of God." A new Christian, dear friend, it should, if you get saved and you are, say you was a carpenter, or you was a garbage man, you were as a doctor, you was a lawyer, if you get saved and you are a musician, you are to stay in that calling and stay in that, because I'm going to tell you, God needs servants in every work spot, in every place. Like if you're a nurse, you stay a nurse. But I'm going to tell you this. If you get saved, you're lost. Let me see. We're rough cut lumber, dear friend. We work in all different kind of areas. Say before when I was lost and I was working. Listen, I worked when I was at station in the Army. We were stationed in a detachment. And while I was there, they had a little job that you could work and make extra money while in the military. And they had like five or six of these little jobs, and I qualified for one. Well, my job, not proud of it, not bragging on it, I had a job where I had to sell and serve liquor. And it was just something I did. I thought it was pretty good. I made $195 a week working 4 hours a week, and that was it. I thought it was pretty good. Now, when I was lost, say, listen, that just was lost. But if I got saved doing that stuff, it's time for me to change jobs. It's time to go. I couldn't be doing that. Now, I was lost the whole entire time. So, if you're at a job, you're lost and you get saved and you go in there and you've got to serve someone liquor, it's time for you to get a new job, dear friend. Well, why, preach? The Bible says, woe unto you if you put the bottle to your neighbor's lip. We don't want over it in John and Luke, who's our neighbor. Our neighbor is everybody. You say, preacher, well, how in the world I'm going to provide? We have a God in heaven who's well capable of giving us another job that we well pleasing to Him that we could not go against Scripture. Okay, now, let's go on a little bit. You're working at a job, and in that job, you're a clerk, and you know, you're lost, and you just doing what lost folks do. And well, they sell pornography there. Guess what you got to do? Pack your bags, get a new job. Now, what kind of testimony would it be if you was to make your sale, and then while it's on the way out the door, you said, listen, I'm a member of Lock Haven Baptist Church. I'd like to have you come by and visit. It ain't going to cut it. Listen. If you're doing a job and you're honoring God and it's not against Scripture and it's within the boundaries of Spirit and truth, serve God there. Stay with it. But I'm telling you, dear friend, you in a job that goes against Scripture. I don't care if you got saved yesterday. If you've been saved 15 years, this time you change jobs. Amen. Some of us just hadn't grown in grace. Some of us just, you know, we get to a point where we say, well, I've got to make money. It's more about money. It's about the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's about what kind of God we serve. We serve a God that's holy. And He says, be ye holy, for I am holy. Paul said, listen, hey, uncircumcision ain't nothing. Circumcision ain't nothing. What is? Keeping of the commandments of God. So a new Christian should continue in his vocation unless it is very contrary to the Word of God. I know it ain't popular nowadays to be preaching on this stuff. It's not popular at all. It doesn't get me any brownie points, with, you know, but it's the Word of God. I'm not looking to come with you with enticing words. I'm not looking to offend you with my actions. But when it comes to the Scripture, dear friend, we have to stand on the Word of God and the promise of the Word of God, and we just have to follow through. We wonder why this world is such a mess. Because we, in our Christian age of grace, we use everything as a crutch. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit of God lives inside of you, and He says, grieve not and quench not. Well, I just can't help it. It's just part of my makeup. Oh no, we're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. This here craziness thinking that I can live like I want, how I want, do as I want, and I'm still going to heaven, that's foolishness, dear friend. Hey, under grace, Christ tightened down the natches and notches. Why? Because the Holy Spirit of God moved in. So as a newborn Christian, I get saved and I'm faced with that. And, you know, sometimes we're going to have to disciple people that way. You have to be careful when you do it, too. I mean, you don't want to knock them out of the saddle. I don't want to run nobody off, but we get somebody saved, reach them with the gospel, and they're in something like that. We got to take the Word of God, and we got to show them why it is against Scripture. Sometimes we do it like we do our kids, just because I said so. Well, that don't work, dear friend. Show them what the Bible says, and show them what Scripture says. The love of God is enough to constrain them. Hey, a Christian that was a Jew, Paul says, you're not to try to become a Gentile. If you were a Gentile, you're not to try to become a Jew. That's what he's talking about there. Let me take a step further. I think we need to get to the point where we're content with how God has made us. A lot of us just aren't content. Not at all. This world has sold us a bunch of lies and said if we don't meet this standard or that standard, we're not what we should be. Well, since when does we as the children of God take what we should be from the world? That's why you wonder why we got all these young kids running around here, young girls especially, anorexic and good, listen, skinny as a rail and saying they need to get on a diet. Are you kidding me? Let me help you here. If you don't need to lose weight and you're standing in the crowd with some people who may need to, and you to say, I need to go on a diet, that's selfish and prideful. Amen. Selfish and prideful, dear friend. You're thinking too highly of yourself. And you're not provoking and caring for somebody else. Chaps my hide when I hear somebody 116 pounds talking about, I need to go on a diet. What you need to do is get you some fluids inside of you and eat you a biscuit or two and be okay with it. And I'm telling you, listen, it ain't good to eat till you're bloated up and you're a glutton either. Either way, you imagine a preacher standing up firing off hell and brimstone weighing 400 pounds because he eats chicken day and night. Hey, I'm telling you, if you're there because of health reasons, thyroids, that's fine. But if it's because you got an elbow problem, you're just as wrong as that one that's prideful over there, skinny as a rail, talking about they need to diet. Wrong. Gluttony's a sin, dear friend. Hey, be content with what you are. Being a Jew, being a Gentile, being thankful that you're a child of the King. Amen. That's what's important. And what's important is keeping the commandments of God. Well, preacher, there's just so much in there. I know there's so much in there. That's why it's the Word of God. It's not your and our word. If it was your and our word, it would be shallow. There's a lot in there. So what do we do? We grasp a hold to a principle of God and we add to our faith and we grow thereby, hungering and thirsting after the Word of God like newborn babes should. And when we are mature in that area, we say, no, Lord, show me another area. And I tell you what we don't do when we're mature in one area, we don't find everybody else that's faltering in that area and point out what they're doing wrong. That's silly. Got to abide. That's something else. We just don't abide in much at all anymore, do we? We're knocked out of the saddle so easy nowadays. Preacher called me today. Y'all pray for him. His name's Sean O'Malley. He called me. He's done sent me about 5 or 6 emails. He called me today. He called me over there at the office. He called me. He said, Pastor Stockton, I just want to let you know I'm coming to Orlando. We're going to start a church in Orlando. I said, well, praise God. I'll be praying for you. He said, where are you coming? He said, I'm coming to South Orlando. start a church. I said, well, that's good. Thank you for letting us know. We're in Southeast Orlando. Just so you know, we're down here. Well, I saw where he is at, but we're going to kind of just let the Lord lead us. 3 years ago, I'd have hung up on that rascal. I'm telling you, 3 years ago, I'd have hung up on him. But the Lord's given me grace, and he's given me understanding. Listen, Orlando needs churches. We do. We need them in South Orlando. We need them in North Orlando, East Orlando. We need them. But I just hope and pray that he realizes that there's places that need churches, not four blocks down the road, not a mile down the road. Maybe over in Windermere. Maybe over in the area around the contraction, not contraction, what do they call them things over there? Attractions. They're contraction. They squeeze money all the time. Attractions. But y'all pray for him that he'll be able to abide in the calling. Because here's the problem we're seeing. They want to flock and start a church. And after about 18 months, when they ain't got 50, 55, 60 in there, they want to close up the doors. And what happens? You sour a whole neighborhood and community. You went out there and knocked on doors with all kind of zeal, all kind of energy, plastered them with tracts here and there. Finally, the Lord touches one of them's heart and they show up and the doors are closed. So pray for them. Because I'm telling you, Orlando's not easy. Not easy at all. We have so much entertainment around here that church is like a third or fourth thing down the line. I mean, it's not important. So y'all pray for Brother Sean O'Malley and his family because he's moving his family from Tennessee down to here. That he will abide and stay put. That he would abide and stay put. You know what the key is? Longevity. Longevity. You're going to have to be willing to plant yourself and stay there until God brings an increase. Listen, you can get discouraged, you get beat up, and you get to thinking, man, should I do this or should I not have done this? And then you know, abide. Church members, abide. It looks awful green on the other side of the pasture sometimes. Sometimes you can look off into another church and think, man, look, oh, it's going good over there. When you get over there, guess what you find? Grass. Grass. The crazy cows next door, they come over here and they want to try to sniff around in the churchyard. And guess what they find? Grass. Before long, they back over in the other side over there where that guy's dumping feed for them. Abide. Abide. Verse 20, the Bible says there in verse 20, let every man abide in the same calling wherein he is called. Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it, but if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's freeman. Likewise, also he that is called, being free, is Christ's servant. Ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called therein abide with God. Now listen, this is talking about slavery back there. There was put on this market. They bought somebody. And you remember old Miss Onesimus got saved and Paul sent him right back to his master, didn't he? He didn't start a revolution. I'm not saying slavery is right. Thank God that it has been gone and done with here in the United States. We're talking about a Bible situation that was a real situation. And Paul said there, look, if you get saved, don't despise your master. Work hard. Don't fight it. Stay. Why? Because you're the Lord's. It was something that was accepted in that time. Stay faithful. Now let's try to apply that in our day and age. You got a business. Say old Drew opens up a business. He's got to hire some folks to work for him. So he hires Justin. He hires Romans. Still needs four more. He hires four or five folks that are lost. Romans and Justin are not to despise him because they're all three saved and take advantage of him. Now say they work for a lost man. They're to work just as hard for that lost boss as they were the saved boss, and vice versa. Because sometimes what happens, Brother Bernie, if I got a saved boss, I take advantage of him because we're all saved. That's not good. Because those lost people that are around us, that are working with us, they pick up on that. They pick up on it quick. And if you haven't been aware of it, a lost person will take every opportunity to make an excuse why not to come to church. When all they got to really say is, I don't want to come. But they'll make excuses. Well, I was around a Christian one time. I'm telling you, he was the biggest hypocrite in the world. Well, what did he do? Well, he skipped out on work sometimes, leave early, did this, did that. And they know it. They got a checklist. When all they really have to do is say, no, I'm not interested. I don't want to come. But they throw it out there, don't they? They throw it out there. And I'm going to tell you something. If you are working for a lost man, give him 110%. You're the Lord's. If you're working for a saved man, give him 110%. Why? You're the Lord's. You're not the saved man's. You're not the lost man's. If you are saved, you're a child of the King. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. Now, I was reading this, trying to study this. Lord, we don't have slavery no more. Well, let me tell you. From January 1st till around almost to May, we're slaves to the United States government. Every one of you that work, every dime you get takes about that much to pay your taxes. Up to that point. We're not the government's. We're the Lord's. And we're to honor the Lord. We cuss and we fight and we scratch and we fuss and we... Our government is so dark, but we won't light a match to even give light. Evil men shall wax worse and worse. So what do? We take the light of the Lord Jesus Christ and we work as hard as we can for the glory of God. Why? Verse 23, ye are bought with a price. Be not ye servants of men. When I try to cheat that boss of mine, I'm saying he is the one that I'm accountable to. Because we can't cheat God. Whether I work 10 minutes off the clock, past my time off, or whether I cut out of work 10 minutes early, God knows. And that's what should matter. Not what the boss knows or don't know. But I'm bought with a price. I'm not the servant of men. I'm the servant of God. And what I do, whether good or bad in this body, I'm going to look Christ in the white of the eye one day and give an account for what I've done. What I've done. Now, you remember when Moses killed that guy because he's beating up on that Israeli man? Hit him into the sand. A couple of days later, Moses thought he was in the clear, didn't he? He began to talk to two of them. Why are you fighting? And what did one of them say? You going to kill us too? Be sure your sin will find you out. You cut out on your boss. You don't know which one of them workers wants your job. And they'll be telling the boss man. Hey, I'm telling you, keep a good testimony. Keep a good testimony. Listen. In that day, the Lord said this, a saved slave is just as free in the Lord as somebody that was not a slave. I am free in the Lord no matter my circumstances or situation. Some of us look around at life and the situation we're in, the circumstances, and we say we're in bondage. But if I know the Lord Jesus, my personal Lord and Savior, I know this. He might not always do away with the storm, but He'll sure calm me and help me get through the storm. Why? I'm bought with a price. I'm bought with a price. Verse 24, let every man wherein he is called, therein abide with God. One thing I get out of this here little portion, we got to stay with God. We got to stay with God. Church, you're going to have to stay with God. It's getting ugly in this world. Very ugly. Stay with God. Why? He's got the answers. He had the answer when we were on our way to hell. Do you think if He can save our soul and sit our feet on solid rock that He cannot give us the answer to all of life's problems? We've got to get back to the point where our sufficiency is of God. We look around at our things we have gathered up. We look at our assets and we look at our liabilities. Well, my assets still outweigh my liabilities, so I must be okay. Our assets equal out, and they're equal with their liabilities. Well, I'm still okay. We're looking at things. We need to understand we are God's. Things come and go. Storms fly in and out. But God is from everlasting to everlasting. Abide in Christ. Abide in God. Stay in God. Let's stand to our feet.